Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
This morning as we begin with this third day image in our hearts and our minds, I want to ask this question. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the question, what is church about? Think about that. What is church all about? Is church about the services? Is it about the music? Is it about the sermon, the word of God being preached? Is it the ministries? What is church about? Now, all those things I just mentioned are important, and more beside, I mean, they're important things. In fact, I want you to know that everything we do here has purpose and intention. I've said it before that we will do anything short of sin to reach unreached people. We will work with passion and intention to reach people who are far from God. And so if that means that we discover that the best way to reach the people of Frederick County is to do bagpipe worship, then we'll do bagpipe worship, right? If we discover that it's about putting chocolate pudding in the pond, then we'll put chocolate pudding in the pond. You know, we'll do whatever it takes to reach unreached people. And we'll do it with hard work and intention because we know that's what God has called us to do. He's called us to be a church that transforms our community with His love and power. However, here's what I want us to know and to understand this morning, that while we give great purpose and intention to how we do church, God is not as concerned with how we do church as He is that we would be the church. So, again, all this stuff is fine and good, but it doesn't matter if we aren't purposely looking at our lives and talking together as a church about how we are being the church. See, it's important that we understand the lifestyle of being the church. What does it look like for New Life Church as we move forward together over these years to come? What is the kind of lifestyle that we need to live both individually and corporately in a unified way? Because here's the thing, if we're all coming here, but we're all kind of living these kind of separate lives, if we aren't embracing a set of values together and living out our faith together as a church in a way that's consistent, then it doesn't work, right? But the unity and the power comes when we're all living out a lifestyle of faith as Jesus has called us to. See, He's concerned that we would be the church together. And so this morning I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Again, we're starting this new series today and over the next few weeks where we're going to talk about this lifestyle. What does this lifestyle look like of being the church, the kind of church that can transform our community with His love and power? What does that kind of lifestyle look like? Again, programs are fine, but they're not going to do it. Nice facilities are good and great. We have a beautiful property here, but that's not gonna help us transform our community. Ministries, music, you go down the list. None of those things are really what's gonna help us transform. I mean, they'll help us, but if we don't have the lifestyle that accompanies all those things, then all those things are for naught. We can run the greatest church service this side of the Mississippi, and we won't transform our community if we don't have the lifestyle that Jesus has called us to live. And so, what does that lifestyle look like? And we're going to spend the next few weeks doing that. And I think the starting point for this discussion has to be that we would look at someone who has lived the kind of lifestyle that actually transformed their world. And so, who better to look at than Jesus, right? Jesus Christ came to this earth and he lived a lifestyle that allowed him to transform the world. Now you might go, well, duh. I mean, if you're a church person, you're going, well, yeah, Jesus was God. But remember, in John 1, it tells us he was the Word made flesh. He became fully human and dwelt among us. And so, yes, while Jesus was God, he was also fully man, which meant he had to choose certain things. It didn't just come natural to him. He had to choose the lifestyle that allowed him to transform this world and to fulfill God's purposes that he had given him when he came to this earth. And so we want to follow his example. And in Luke's account of the gospel, where I've asked you to turn this morning, Luke wrote down this incredible picture of Jesus' life that we get to observe, that we get to learn from. And in this chapter, we see, first of all, Jesus had gone and he had encountered a guy named Simon Peter and some of his fishing buddies who had been out all night and he hadn't caught any fish. And so Jesus shows up and he says, hey, why don't you go out into that deeper water there and put down your nets? And they go, hey, we don't know who you are, buddy, but we're the fishing experts and we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught any fish. Nothing. And so but Jesus says, put your nets out there. So they do. And they catch more fish than they know what to do with. Well, then Jesus says, be fishers of men, follow me. And so these disciples start following Jesus, and now he's living for them. He's modeling for them right in front of their very eyes what it looks like to be people that bring the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And so now we pick it up in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 12. It says this. It says, in one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. When the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. Lord, he said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Verse 13, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus instructed him not to tell anyone what had happened. He said, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster. Vast crowds came to hear him preach and be healed of their diseases. In verse 16 it says, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. So Jesus, you know, again, we're talking this morning about this lifestyle, a lifestyle of faith that allows us to become world changers. And Jesus, the greatest world changer this planet has ever seen, he models something for us here in these first few verses and that we're reading today. And what he models for us is that if we're going to be people who have a lifestyle that helps us fulfill God's purposes and helps us transform this world, we've got to be people that learn how to pause. We've got to be people that learn how to pause, to hit the pause button, as it were, in our life. And so this morning I want to talk to you about principles of pausing, of learning how to rest, learning how to set ourselves apart so that we can recharge our souls. And so here's the first thing I want to recognize this morning. We're talking about principles of pausing. And the first principle is this, that if you're going to be someone that is able to develop this kind of lifestyle, a lifestyle that allows us to be world changers, you've got to give your life, first of all, to what matters. You've got to give your life to what matters. I heard the story of a guy named Bill who, things were just not going well for him. His dog had ran away, his wife ran away, and all these things were going wrong in his life. And so he goes to the doctor sends him to the psychiatrist, and Bill tells the psychiatrist all of his He says, I have all these troubles in my life. Life isn't worth living. And the psychiatrist says, don't be stupid, Bill. I mean, you have a job, don't you? And he's like, yeah. He's like, well, pour your life into your work. I mean, just submerge yourself in your work and just jump all into your work. And he said, by the way, what do you do for a job? And Bill said, I clean out septic tanks. Yeah, don't submerge yourself in your work there. But what does it look like to give ourselves to things that matter? What does it look like to be people that pour our lives into what matters? Jesus was going around and he was finding the sick, he was finding the broken, he was finding the sick, and he was showing them the love and the power of God. And he was giving his life to what mattered most. He had found purpose, he had found meaning in what God had given him to do. And so, then when it came time to rest, see, rest has to do with restoring your soul so that you can do what God has given you to do. That's what rest is all about. That's what it looks like, and that's what it means to pause, put our lives on pause so our souls can be restored, so we can do what God has given us to do. And we see Jesus do that here in this passage. But if you aren't finding fulfillment in what you're doing, what God has given you to do, this could be in your job, this could be in your family, you could be retired, but if you're on the face of this planet, it's important that we recognize that you're here because God has something for you to do. Your life has a purpose. And so you and I, it's important that we find what God has given us to do and that we recognize what matters and we pour ourselves into that. And so, again, rest restores and recharges our soul so we can fulfill our purpose. And if you aren't finding life in what's in front of you, then you've got to pay attention to that. There was a movie called Chariots of Fire a number of years ago. And in that movie, there was a runner who, he was an Olympic-level runner, and he said, at one point he said, when I run, I feel his pleasure. What he was acknowledging was, when I run, I know that God has made me to run. He's given me a special gift. And so when I do that, I know I am fulfilling my purpose. Now, I want you to think about this. So if, let's say someone coaxes you into a race, but you hate running. So you're trying to, can I get an amen from someone on that? Yeah. And so you're out there, you're trudging along, and you might be doing your best to run, and you might then, if you take a break from your race or from your training, you go get rest and you come back to running, it's not going to make you love running anymore if you aren't made to do it, if it's not fulfilling your life purpose to run. Does that make sense? So rest is meant to restore your soul so you can pour your life into what matters. And so there's a lot of people that are burned out in what they're doing and think, well, maybe if I just take more days off, or if I just sleep more, or if I just take more vacation, then maybe I'll like my job again, or I'll like what I'm doing. And yet you've got to pay attention to what is it that God's given me to do, and I've got to do that wholeheartedly. Because here it's important to understand how God has designed us. You see, you look at creation. God created the universe, right? And he created Adam and he created Eve and he put them in the garden and he said, okay, now I give you responsibility. Your responsibility is to work and to care for this garden. And when God gave them that responsibility, that was before the fall. That was before they chose to sin. And so here's what that means. What that means is work is not part of the curse. You know, there's a lot of things in this life that are a result of sin being brought into this world, right? But work is not one of them. We were made to work. We were made to be people that God would give us something and trust us with it to say, it's your responsibility to work this and to steward this. And so work is part of our God-given DNA. We were made to fulfill a purpose. And there's a lot of people that because they neglect that, they find their lives empty and aimless. And yet when you start to pay attention to this, and you start to get direction, and this is what God has given me to do, then it makes all the difference in the world. Then you start to get your life aligned with God, and ultimately, then when you rest, it recharges you, and you're even stronger for what God has given you to do. And then when you're there at work, it's like, it's life-giving as well. There's a terminology called sloth, right? Slothfulness in the Bible. And people usually think that it has to do with laziness, but sloth is not about laziness. Slothfulness is actually about indifference or aimlessness. That slothfulness, so it's not just about being lazy and sitting around. It's really, slothfulness has more to do with this notion of being indifferent, and where you just start to lack purpose, and it's just, oh, I don't care. I'm just existing. I'm just going through the motions. That's what slothfulness is. Sure, you can end up being lazy because of that, but slothfulness is more of a heart condition. It's more of this condition where, because you've gotten disconnected from God's purposes, you're just kind of existing. And that's not the way that God has called us to live. And so, again, this is true whether you're retired in this place today. You may be a stay-at-home mom. You may be a business owner. You may be a Dairy Queen worker. But whoever you are, each and every one of us are made with purpose. And so whatever God has given you to do, If you haven't found it yet, find it and then pour yourself into it, because that is when you will be fully alive. You'll be fully alive as you fulfill God's purpose. And then rest will actually matter. Otherwise, rest will just be a waste of time in your life. You'll rest and you'll still be weary and tired because you're not doing what God has made you to do. And so your ability to embrace and really enjoy God's gift of rest flows from doing what matters. I think about my dad. My dad, he has been a shoe repairman and orthotics guy. So basically, he's worked with stinky feet and smelly shoes for 40-plus years. And he does that. And yet, here's what I found as I got to follow him and know him all through the years. You know what really he found? And this is why being a part of the church is so important. Like, he worked hard at his work, and he enjoyed it at a certain level, but the reason he also taught Sunday school at church for now 43-plus years is because he found that using his gifts in the life of the church added purpose and meaning to his life as well. And so that really was what he looked forward to throughout his week, even throughout work. He'd be praying for the kids in his class at church and preparing for his Sunday school lesson. And so he found that using his gifts at church was a way to keep himself on track and motivated and following Jesus. And obviously, as we were growing up in the house, he'd pour himself into us as well. But he said, I don't, you know, smelly feet, you know, and smelly shoes, all that stuff is not what I do all this for. I found that it allows me to do some of these other things that matter. And so being a part of the church and using our gifts here is an important part of that as well. And so what are you doing that's outside of you? What are you doing that matters? That's the question that we have to start with as we talk about being able to develop this lifestyle of rest that recharges our soul. You got to give your life to what matters. But here's the second principle of pausing, is that you also need to be motivated by the right things. What motivates you? What motivates you? There was a guy named Bill who... He was out of a job and was looking for work, and he had gone and applied for a janitorial position at the First Baptist Church downtown. And he went in and they handed him an application. They said, fill this out. Well, he said, I don't know how to read or write. They said, well, you probably aren't going to be able to do this job then, because you have to learn how to read or write to be able to do this job. And so he was a little bummed out, but he wasn't defeated. And so he was walking down the road. He saw a basket of fruit for sale, so he bought the basket of fruit, and he went and set up his little stand, and he began to sell the fruit. He sold all of it, and so he went and bought more fruit. And he, you know, went and he sold that, and he kept doing that for the next couple of years until, after several years, he had now built a whole fruit company and amassed several $1 million. And so now He was at the bank, and he's sitting down at the bank, and he's asking for a construction loan to build a building for this new arm of his fruit company. And as he's talking across the desk from the bank manager, the bank manager says, hey, you need to fill out this application. He says, I don't know how to read or write. And the bank manager's like, what? He's like, wow. He's like, well, I mean, I know you have a pretty successful business. He said, imagine what you could, where you'd be if you knew how to read or write. And Bill said, I know where I'd be if I knew how to read or write. I'd probably still be a janitor at First Baptist Church. There is motivation in his life, right? He was motivated. What is it that motivates you? See, what I want us to recognize about Jesus is he was motivated by the right things. You'll notice in the passage that we read, he healed the lepers, and then he told them, hey, don't tell anyone what I've done. Don't tell anyone. See, Jesus wasn't motivated by superficial things. He wasn't motivated by greed or power, popularity. He wasn't trying to please man. Jesus wasn't motivated by those things. And so, we've got to pay attention. What are we motivated by? See, Jesus, what he shows us is when you are motivated by the right things, then rest is productive in your life. But when you're motivated by the wrong things, then rest won't be productive in your life. See, when you are motivated by the wrong things, it'll pollute your heart and ultimately affect your ability to have your soul restored as God wants it to be. Think about it this way. In Psalm 23, we all probably have some familiarity with, the Lord is my shepherd, right? I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul, right? That's the heart of God, is to lead you and I to times of rest. That's what rest and pausing is all about, is that we would allow God to lead us to times and seasons where we can rest our soul. But here's the thing. So if you're motivated by the wrong things, we're all sheep in this room, right? So our shepherd, he leads us to the water. If you're motivated by the wrong things, then he'll lead you to the water, and you'll be like, if you're greedy, for instance, you're going, how can I get more water for me, right? How can I store this up in my little pouch on the back of my sheep booty, you know? how can I get more water for me? Or if you're motivated by jealousy, you're looking around, you see the other sheep over there, and you're like, well, I like the kind of water they have. I want that water over there. And if you get caught up with those motivations, then he may lead you to the water, but your soul won't be restored because you're motivated by the wrong things. And so, our motivation matters. Because when we're motivated by the right things, then when he leads us to the water, our soul will be restored. If we don't deal with the motivations of our heart, then they can corrupt it and rob us from being rested and strengthened. And so, this is true. Here's what I want us to understand. Pausing happens in a lot of different ways. It happens daily, it happens weekly, and it happens annually. I mean, for instance, we need to pause and rest on a daily basis, right? We need to take time to pray and do our devotions and be with God. Or weekly, it's important that we take some time off at least once a week. And it's important that once a year we're getting some time away. But when you're motivated by the right things, those things will actually accomplish their purpose in your life. But if you're motivated by the wrong things, again, then those things won't help. And so I would humbly submit, maybe some of you, as you think about this, and maybe some of you, let me ask it this way. Have you ever gone on a vacation or had a day off and you get down, you feel less rested than when you started? Or maybe you get done with a devotional time and you don't feel any closer to God than when you started? I would submit that if that's the case, then you're not experiencing the kind of rest that Jesus modeled. You're not experiencing rest as God has intended. See, when you're motivated by the right things in your life, then rest becomes productive. Because if you're not driven by greed or the need to please people or jealousy or whatever it is that can get in our hearts and our minds, and if in the drivenness, I know sometimes that's been a deal in my life where I've had to correct that in my heart and go, wait, I'm being burned out, but it's not anyone else's fault, it's mine. I had to recognize that there were some of those things driving me, and that's why I was so tired. But then when I started to deal with them, then I could experience rest as he intended. And so what are the right things that should motivate us? Here they are. Closer relationship with God. Serving others. Making Jesus and his love known. Those are the kinds of things that when those are the motivators in our life, then our hearts will stay on track. And rest will happen as God intended it. Here's the third principle of pausing here before we're done. If you and I are going to develop this kind of lifestyle where we experience rest as God desires for us, we've got to be regular in our rest. It says in verse 16, I want us to look at this again. Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. He often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. See, Jesus regularly put his life on pause. He regularly took time to have his soul restored, to be with God. And so again, what happens for some of us is we burn out all month, all year, and then maybe we go and take a vacation. But if we're not developing a regular rhythm of rest, then even if you take a vacation, that's not necessarily going to do the trick for you. We've got to have a lifestyle of rest where we're learning how to daily connect with God, weekly get that time. And so when that's a regular part of our life, then we'll stay alive in our hearts and our souls. And so, here, can I tell you some of the temptations I've had? For instance, sometimes I get really busy and I'll go for a few days, a week or two, and I'll barely do my devotions. That's happened in the past, where I'll just be so busy because I just got to get all these things done for everyone else. And then that when I'm not regular in connecting with God, then I find my soul gets weary. And it's that regular time with God that Jesus modeled for us that makes all the difference in the world. In fact, we know the story, maybe you've heard of it, of Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha in the book of Luke in chapter 10, they have Jesus over for dinner. And these two sisters, one of them, Martha, is running around because she's got the Lord there, right? Jesus is in her house. And she's working hard to get dinner ready, and her sister Mary sitting there at the feet of Jesus, and she's so frustrated and finally says, "Jesus, you know, I'm doing all the hard work here. Aren't you going to correct her?" And Jesus said, "No, actually, I'm not going to correct her because she's doing what is good, right? She is doing, in fact, Jesus says in verse 42, he says, she has chosen what is better." Some of us that are hard workers don't like that verse, right? Because it's like, we can see ourselves as the Martha. We know that we're the ones working hard, and that bugs us. And so, we've got to learn how to be people that rest regularly. In fact, let me give you three little phrases. I've kind of mentioned it, alluded to it throughout, but we've got to learn how to do these three things. We've got to learn how to divert daily. We've got to learn how to withdraw weekly, and we've got to learn how to abandon annually. If you're going to develop a lifestyle of pausing, we've got to learn how to divert daily. That's just getting alone with Jesus for a little while, kind of shutting out the world and taking some time to pray, maybe read a verse or two and maybe even write a couple things down and say, "Here, God, here's my prayer to you today." We've got to learn how to divert daily and let our souls be rested in him. We've got to learn how to withdraw weekly. That's taking time away from what you normally do. I'm not going to get too legalistic on these things because I don't think that legalism ever helps. But, you know, if you regularly, because you know, there's some people that even on their day off doing something still is restful. And so I'm not saying that you just have to sit on your couch at home to get true rest. Like, you know, and if you're regularly a construction guy, you know, I don't know, and you maybe that, you know, going home and working on your finances is relaxing. I don't know. Well, maybe not. But that's not a good example. I didn't think that one through. But you know, just do something different than what you normally do. And as you withdraw and kind of separate yourself from what you normally do, Find rest. And then abandon annually. Again, you don't have to go on some exotic Mexico vacation or wherever, but just get time, whether on your own or with your family. Take time to at least once a year just get away and kind of just, and I would encourage you, when you're in these times, have fun, but don't leave God out of it. You know, sometimes it's like, all right, I can just do whatever I want. Yeah, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and you're like, your soul is not going to be restored after that. I hate to break it to you. So take time to connect with God in those times of rest. Okay, let's pull this together here. Go ahead and set your notebooks aside. I want to just kind of just let us respond to this before God. Again, we're talking about lifestyle. And here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that the odds are against you and I learning how to do this well. Because we live in a world that doesn't know how to pause. In fact, we live in a world that generally teaches us to just drive harder and push harder and if we're not careful, we could easily fall into the trap where we just burn ourselves out and then find ourselves, our life in pieces. And I want to encourage you, wherever you are in your journey, maybe some of you would say, I've been there. I've already burned out. I'm already like, you know, dying here. I don't know how I'm going to go another day, another week. And, you know, I want you to know that, first of all, God doesn't condemn you for things where you may be looking and you go, my life has been so out of whack. I haven't had boundaries. I don't know how to, my ability to say no to things, whatever. Some of you might be sitting here going, yeah, this all sounds good, but I my life is just chaos right now. I don't know how to bring it all together. I want you to know, Jesus takes you where you are. He doesn't hold shame over you. He doesn't go, yeah, get it together, man. Come on. No. He loves you. He embraces you where you are. And I want to encourage you, don't even try to just do this all on your own. I mean, some of you are already probably in your mind going, okay, I need to do this, this, and this. Just involve, whether it's your spouse or a friend, and say, hey, help me put together. Let's talk about what a plan looks like to really start to adjust the rhythm of our life so we can live out of a place of rest. Because here's the thing. Again, every single one of us wants to fulfill. And God has amazing purpose. Yesterday, I'm going to be honest, I was driving in my car around. I was running around from place to place. I was so amazed by the New Life Church family. There's so many amazing people here. There were tears in my eyes in a couple of moments just thinking about how many amazing people are here and that God has so many great things in store for so many of you here. Some of you don't even know how amazing the plans of God are for your life. And yet, so if we can learn and really start to go, okay, God, how do we make sure that we're ministering and living our lives out of rest? If we can learn how to do that, look out, world. Because when we can learn how to live out of this place, then we'll be able to, when God really starts to pour out blessing on your life, you're going to be able to steward it better because you're connected to Him because you have a lifestyle of rest. But here's the thing. Sometimes we think, well, if I just work harder, then I'm going to get more and God's going to bless it and then I can rest. Well, no, see, if you don't develop the discipline now, then if you get it, it'll be a curse anyway. Because it'll just drive you to harder work and more burnout. But if you learn how to do the rest now, then you'll be able to steward the blessing that God pours out. And that's what I want for you. And so I want you this morning, I want you to think about what's one thing I can start doing this week differently than I did before so that I can pause, so I can connect to God, that I can live from a place of rest this week. What's one thing I can do? It may be getting more consistent in your devotional life. It may be not turning on the radio in your car when you first get in and just taking time to pray before you jump into your day. I don't know what that might be for you, but I encourage you this morning as we pray, I want you to encourage you to listen to God and really courageously step into that. And so, would you bow your heads with me this morning? Lord, I thank you so much for each person in this place. I thank you, Lord, for just the blessing that you have poured out on so many in this room. And I just pray today that, first of all, for any that are here struggling. In fact, if you're here today and you'd say, I need God to restore something in my soul. Maybe you'd say, I'm just burned out, I'm tired, and I need God to show up and do something in my heart and soul because I'm weary. I've got every head bowed right now, every eye closed. Would you just lift your hand and just say, Pastor, would you just pray that God would just restore and strengthen my soul this morning? If that's you, you want to just lift up your hand. I want to pray for you this morning if there's anyone that way. Yeah, quite a few of us here, yeah. Yeah, just go ahead and lift up your hand, yeah. You can go ahead and put it down. And Lord, you've seen each of these that have lifted their hand this morning and just acknowledging the weariness. Lord, I pray that you would, in your love and your grace, meet them where they are right now. You are the God of peace, the God of love, the God of compassion. I pray that you would come this morning and that you would just restore their soul, restore peace and strength. Lord, I pray that you would give them clarity to know how to guide their steps in this upcoming week and in this upcoming month. Lord, anything that maybe you would want them to change, that you would gently, Lord, and that clearly guide them into a new pathway for how to live their lives so that they can have their soul restored regularly. Lord, I just speak your blessing and life over each and every one of them. Lord, for each of us in this place, I just pray, God, that we would continually be transformed, Jesus, to look more like you, that we would truly be a church of world changers, people that are living out our purpose, living out our calling and our identity in ways that bring your love and your power to our community, to our world. We thank you for your great love this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.